Forecast for today, partly cloudy, high around 77. That $3 billion incentives bill for the Foxconn project approved by the State Assembly, with local leaders touting the potential number of jobs to be created over the lingering questions about the impact for all taxpayers. Democrat Todd Onstedt from Kenosha, voting for the bill, called Foxconn the biggest opportunity for job creation since the days of his city's auto industry, though he is still disappointed about all the rejected amendments offered by the Democrats.
Unfortunately, this is a bill which could have been made better by accepting some of these amendments. Unnecessary environmental concerns, restrictions rather, overly generous economic incentives, clawbacks, which don't adequately address taxpayers' concerns if this deal goes south. However, if only half of the economic activity and half of the jobs which are predicted come true, this will be a great thing for southeastern Wisconsin.
Western Kenosha County Republican Samantha Kirkman recalled the legislature setting up an enterprise zone during the last recession to help one Wisconsin company that she reminded her colleagues wasn't doing so good.
Well, now we have a company that wants to invest and bring a new technology, something that's not produced in this country, here to southeastern Wisconsin. To me, it doesn't matter whether it's in my district or in Kenosha County or in Racine County, because it's going to help not only our region, but the state of Wisconsin.
There were 7 hours of debate, the vote 59-30 in favor of the incentives plan. Racine's Corey Mason joining fellow local Democrats Peter Barkham and Onstedt in backing the measure because of the jobs, Mason noting that there were many parts of the bill he doesn't like. Next comes the state Senate, where even more questions remain. Location for the proposed Foxconn facility still not been announced, with continued speculation that it might be Mount Pleasant or in Kenosha County. Well, the Mount Pleasant Village Board's got a special meeting next Monday night to discuss what the agenda lists as an approval of a contract for a project director for the village. Twice this week, the board met in closed session, the agenda's indicating, and was about hiring an interim administrator, which is a position right now held by the police chief, Tim Zarzecki. Village President Dave DeGroot, in an email to WRJN News, says that the project director would be involved in the Foxconn development for southeast Wisconsin and its related supply chain, also associated economic development coming with it. DeGroot adding that the project director will become an essential part of the village's development team and that the position would, quote, possibly last as long as the project does, unquote. In the short term, DeGroot adds that the employee would also handle some of the administrative tasks while the search goes on for a permanent administrator. The Kenosha County Board and Committee of the Whole discussion this week talked about millions of dollars in delinquent property taxes still on the county's books, and how come the process for collection has been so slow. County Treasurer Terry Jacobson saying it's been a lack of staff and a recently purchased software program that has yet to live up to expectations. Meanwhile, a report she gave to the board said delinquent taxes since 2005 total about $6.6 million. Supervisor Steve Bostrom said the treasurer's office needs to, in his words, get over the hump and start clearing the board of delinquent taxes, then come up with a system to make sure that it doesn't happen again, suggesting that the county hire a consultant.
Might be an attorney, might be a title company, might be a real estate broker, might be all three that can give us a bid on what it would take to knock this whole thing out. And of course, it'll take time. It'll take 9 months from issuing the notice and action being taken. But quite honestly, without some significant help like that, I don't see this ever ending. I mean, ever.
Supervisor Mike Skalitsky said he wants answers from IT about how come the computer program purchased for the job doesn't work.
It seems as though we're incapable of having this software ever deliver what it needs to for them to become more automated and efficient. So we don't add a bunch of bodies like you would in 1960. This is the 21st century, and it's ridiculous that we can't get this automated.
Supervisor Terry Rose said the county finance department has offered to work with the treasurer to help clear up the backlog of back taxes. Three groups launch a petition drive urging CNN to give equal time to 1st Congressional District candidate Randy Bryce for an event next Monday night in Racine. CNN hosting a town hall meeting with Congressman Paul Ryan at the Racine Theater Guild. According to a news release, the Working Families Party, Democracy for America, and NARAL Pro-Choice America are calling on CNN and its host Jake Tapper to change the format of the program to give Bryce equal time so viewers will hear from both men. Racine's Common Council had a committee of the whole discussion this week. It was about 3+ hours worth regarding solid, bulky, green, and brown waste collection. It focused attention on the immediate needs with the start of next month's cart collection system, but also pointed out the current Kestrel Hawk landfill has roughly less than 7 years of remaining capacity at this point. City Administrator Jim Palahniuk said discussions with Republic Services, which owns the landfill, indicated about an equal amount of time, maybe a little less, to site a new landfill or something else, if possible.
We then asked the question, okay, what if we simply permit an expansion of the existing landfill? And the answer was provided as 5 years. So as you can imagine, that's pretty alarming. And to the extent that we can, in fact, decrease the amount that we dispose of, then we can in turn hopefully increase the useful life of that landfill, or vice versa.
Palahniuk noting that if Kestrel Hawk was deemed full, it's either a new site ready to go, or the city might have to drive materials even further to an existing landfill in the region at greater cost.
As we start thinking about solid waste management in general terms, and as we develop policies and talk about what we're talking about tonight, I thought that it was very important to make that point and to understand that this is a big issue that we have to think about and talk about as we develop these policies, as we think about systems, and as we think about individual personal responsibility for creating waste and disposing of waste.
He indicated the goal would be to extend the life of Kestrel Hawk or expand capacity, and that discussions now involve different stakeholders in the community on many different levels.
A committee of people that are either attached to in some way issues related to solid waste or that are champions or advocates for solving that problem and are hoping to start meeting on a very regular basis to find cooperative ways to start talking on a community-wide basis how we can impact that in a positive way.
Meanwhile, Racine's cart collection system for solid waste begins September the 18th. The carts to be delivered after Labor Day. Changes also coming for bulky waste as well as yard materials, though the latter is still in discussion. Pleasant Prairie's Plan Commission this week approving final condominium plans for the first phase of the cottages near Main Street and 47th Avenue. 31 units to start, another 41 after that. The development consistent with the village's comprehensive land use plan. Meanwhile, construction to begin yet this summer, completion within the next 2 to 3.5 years. The Dream Playground in Kenosha, community built, costing about $1 million, fully accessible, is at Petsky Park, where the most recent vandalism included 3 pieces of equipment out of commission due to the vandals having cut straps and or causing other damage. The problems are occurring despite volunteer playground ambassadors stationed there each day till nightfall. Tammy Conforti, the driving force behind that project, telling a Kenosha Council committee this week she thinks it's a nighttime problem.
Recently, 2 people at the park informed one of our ambassadors that they overheard an older teenager tell another teenager not to park in the parking lot in the neighborhood on the street. Because after 10, the cops will see your car, they'll know we're in here, and they will give you a ticket. So the young teenagers have taken to parking in the neighborhoods to avoid being seen by police while they're in there after hours.
The repair work falls to the city's Parks Department. Director Jeff Warnock noting there's already one security camera.
They need to add one or two more. And we're even discussing having lights there at night that work off the street lights, so it'd be on dusk and dawn. You have to illuminate it so you can see what's going on there.
Warnock suspected all along, he said, that the city would be dealing with Dream Playground vandalism. And St. Cloud, Minnesota opened up a new police community outpost today aimed at reducing crime by moving services where most needed. And officials there say it is based on the highly successful COP model in Racine, a program around now almost 25 years, started by the late Police Chief Richard Paulzine. After visiting Racine in 2014, police officials from St. Cloud spent 3 years forming a program and launching a nonprofit to finance both construction and the operation of their COP house. Like in Racine, with all of its locations and now in Mount Pleasant, that facility built to accommodate a family should the city decide to sell it. And coming up this Sunday, Mount Pleasant Police and the House of Harley-Davidson Racine teaming up for the first Cruisin' for the Cops House motorcycle ride. It'll begin at 8:30 in the morning. Former Kenosha County District Attorney Bob Zaff recommended for a 1-year suspension of his license to practice law by retired Racine County Judge Dennis Flynn. He was the referee in a case that alleged misconduct in reference to Zaff's handling of evidence in a homicide, the case for which 2 men were convicted. It received greater attention when a now former police officer, Kyle Bars, admitted planting evidence. Zaff was accused of not taking appropriate action on different levels. Judge Flynn, in addition to recommending the state Supreme Court suspend Zaff's license, also says he should never again be allowed to prosecute a case in Wisconsin and should take classes on legal ethics. Zaff retired earlier this year after 7 years in his second stint as Kenosha DA. The Burlington Common Council this week voted in favor of a Class B liquor license purchased from the town of Burlington for Matthew Allen and his plans to revitalize the vacant Coach's building on Milwaukee Avenue. The plans that include a sports bar and grill named Burly Duck with duck pin bowling. Discussion included Allen desiring the city's commitment before spending more money on the project. City Attorney John Bologic explained the council could approve the license, deny it, or delay it some more, but nothing in between. Alderman Tom Preisker urged license approval.
The building's been vacant for years, and it's in downtown, and we have a strategic initiative to improve the downtown. I think the limit to the number of licenses is completely not our issue at all. It's a state legislator and tavern league issue, and if Wisconsin's really open for business, we'll have to press on the legislature and the tavern league to change that. As long as we keep playing by their rules and keep holding a license back, then we handcuff ourselves and we never have an issue to press this with the legislature.
Allen telling the council it's going to take at least 4 to 6 months yet to complete the needed work on phase one.
Another thing that I took back from the meeting that we had the last time was, we spent a lot more time going through the construction budget and getting realistic estimates on how long it was going to take us to complete exterior and interior renovation. And I worked with the general contractor and the architect. You know, in 4 to 6 months is a good estimate. There's a lot that needs to be done there. This building, we want it to look good. We don't want to cut any corners here. We want to make sure that it's done correctly.
About 20 minutes worth of discussion, then the Burlington Council unanimously supported the liquor license going to Allen. Work scheduled to begin next Monday on the intersection of Highway 36 and Racine County Highway Y in the town of Norway to improve the safety of that intersection. The project will involve adjusting the alignment of the left turn lanes in both directions on 36, plus install more visible traffic signals. The intersection will stay open during the project, but some temporary lane closures will be needed. It's about a $740,000 project scheduled to be completed by late fall, depending on the weather. The Racine Public Library's bookmobile time in the Village of Sturtevant will be expanding from 2 hours to 4 each week. Adjustments also being made elsewhere on the already busy schedule, according to the Board of Trustees President James O'Hagan.
There were concerns that were raised, particularly by me, that the stops we were looking to cut were going to be ones that have historically had or recently had a low literacy rate as far as Racine Unified is concerned, particularly around the Knapp Elementary School area. But it looks like we have some changes and some adjustments, and we also talked with United Way about having to promote some of the changes.
The Farm and Fleet Lot in Sturtevant is where the bookmobile is going to be stopping. The schedule, already full with more than 24 stops 6 days, 4 nights a week, Sturtevant survey indicated village residents there wanted access to library materials, but mainly Monday evenings. And if you go to the Walmart in Summers or Mount Pleasant or anywhere else in the state of Wisconsin, the best-selling items list likely includes a children's toy called Shopkins. Business Insider analyzed company data on the most purchased items at Walmarts in each state, found at least one item that showed up just kind of out of the ordinary. It was puzzle storage in Illinois, Zyrtec in California, Jell-O in Rhode Island, folding chairs in Minnesota, toasters in Arizona, life jackets in Michigan, peanut butter and jelly in Maine, diapers in Iowa, and, we kid you not, dumbbells in New Jersey. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.